They've got a lot of coins. It's all right. Take your Bibles this morning. Find 2 Timothy chapter 3. I bet you thought we were done with that chapter, but we're not quite done. We're going to springboard off of that this morning. It's been very seldom that I have ever felt led to do a series on an isolated chapter out of a book, especially one of the epistles of the New Testament. But I really believe that 2 Timothy 3 is just so full of so much that we've needed. And I don't think it's been by accident. I really do believe, and Treva mentioned this morning in Sunday school, that as we will be more diligent in using God's Word as a mirror to look into, we will find ourselves growing more Christ-like. And if there's anything that our communities and our area around us needs, it is for the followers of Christ to be more like Him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you real quickly. Jesse, you about done there, kiddo? Did everybody get your coins to him? All right, come put the cups down and then head back there by Grandma. And be seated. Don't spill that, please. You need some help? All right, set it down there. I want to tell you about a dream I had this morning shortly before time for me. Thank you, young man. That I hope never comes true. Because if it does, you are all in so much trouble. In the dream, I was standing here trying to preach the message. And I was asking for a response. And you all were sitting there on your phones, looking through your magazines, chewing your gum. And in my dream, Mary, I'd had it with you all. And I just said, fine, you're dismissed. And I walked out on you. Now, you say, what in the world caused that? Can I just tell you, that's the kinds of things the devil will do to a pastor right before time to wake up to try to make you wake up in a bad mood. How many of you wives ever dreamed that your husband did something and you woke up mad at him even though he had not done it? Come on, ladies, let me see those hands. See, I know my wife has. There was one morning my wife woke up mad at me. She goes, I had a dream you were smoking and you better not. I'm like, I've never smoked a day in my life and don't intend to. She said, you ever get, whoa, time out. But you see, the enemy is trying to cause some things. He's stirring up stuff. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if we will focus on it, you've heard the sermons, but I hope you'll go back and read it again for yourself several times. There's things in there that will help us in this day and time in which we live. Well, the last two verses of that chapter says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful. And we looked at this last week. For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So that the person of God, and I want to emphasize again, oftentimes in the Bible when the word man is used, it means humanity. It means both men and women. So that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I entitled today's message, Work is a Four-Letter Word. My son, before service, my son looked at me and says, Dad, you're not supposed to use four-letter words in church. I said, work is a four-letter word. Love is a four-letter word. Rest is a four-letter word. Food is a four-letter word.
Amen.
Amen. I said love. Love is a four-letter word. What is? Well, yes, there's a lot of good four-letter words. But work is a four-letter word that a lot of people will jokingly say, I'm allergic to work, or work is against my religion. And I know they're joking, sort of, but I want to answer a question for you this morning, and I want us to look at this. What was the purpose of God creating us? Now, the ultimate is for us to worship Him and to bring Him glory. But can I tell you, there's a few other things He created us for. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. I have noticed out throughout my life that a lot of people who talk about the Garden of Eden before sin entered the picture, or that paint pictures of the Garden of Eden, they always want to show Adam and Eve standing around with no clothes on, just kind of hanging out by a fruit tree. Can I tell you, that's, do you realize that that would be boring? Just hanging out with nothing to do. I worked with teenagers enough years that they might complain about having to do work, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times that it doesn't take long for them to get bored doing nothing. I can tell you from my own personal experience, I like a downtime once in a while, but it doesn't take long for me to get bored with nothing to do. Amen? So let's just take a moment and let's go back to the original man and woman and just see what was it that God told them to do. In Genesis 1, verses 27 through 30. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. Catch that. What he's about to tell them to do was a blessing. I hope that when you get up tomorrow morning, whatever your work is, whether it's school or it's around the house or whatever it may be, I hope you will change your frame of mind and your thinking. As Christians, we need to begin to look at our tasks in life as a blessing, not a curse. Boy, some of you aren't too quick with the amens this morning. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. I want you to, if you like to take notes or underline things, that word fill, that word subdue, that word rule, those words are action words. Those are words of work. Those are words of activity. Those are words of being given a task to do. And then God said, verse 29, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. What's God saying to them? He says, I'm giving it to you, but you've got to take care of it. I don't believe that the trees and the plants in the Garden of Eden just magically took care of themselves. There were no Keebler elves living in the trees to bake cookies for them. They had to do for themselves. One of the saddest things to see are men and women who reach the age of retirement. And I'm going to tell you something. This whole concept of retirement is not a biblical concept. It is a concept man has created. Yes. One of the saddest things that I've seen is I've known a lot of, it seems to affect the men more than the women sometimes, but it can the women, who reach that age and they're kind of forced to take retirement, and all of a sudden they don't have anything to do. Mm-hmm. And their health suffers. Yes. Their mental health suffers. Yes. And I think I heard somebody kind of say it lowly, so many of them tend to die very soon after retirement because all of a sudden, well, here's what happens. Their purpose that they were created for suddenly is taken away and they don't know how to fill that void. That's why the old saying is, old pastors never retire, they just retread. I want to just challenge you because some of you have already retired and some of you that have reached retirement, you're keeping busy. You're doing good. I want to say to some of the rest of you and myself included, we need to be planning now so that when we hit that part of life called retirement, we have some plans. Amen. Now, the plans may not play out, but I'd rather go into retirement with some plans and have to change them than to hit retirement and have nothing in my mind of what I'm going to do. Let's look at some scriptures to talk about why we were created and about works. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to read these scriptures, and I'm just going to share with you some key words and phrases that are in each of these. So you're going to want to look them up. Ephesians 2:10. Paul says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? To do good works. What good works? Good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Look at that verse. Key words, created. You and I were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God did not create anybody. He did not create any of his children to sit idly by and do nothing. What's the old saying? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. I don't know about you, but I can get the most trouble I can ever find myself in is when I've got nothing to do, or when I think I've got nothing to do. Amen? But here's the thing. You don't need to go out wandering around aimlessly wondering what good works should I do, because he tells us right there, the good works that God has for wants you to do, he already prepared them in advance. The minute in Genesis 1:1, the very moment that it says, and in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to think about this a moment. Part of what he created in that moment, Sister Betty, was the good works that he has for you.
Amen.
And for Patricia, and for Doug, and for Ron, and for every one of us. The problem is, oftentimes, we get so caught up in trying to put together our own agenda, we miss the good works that God has prepared for us.
Yeah.
Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I got to get up in the morning. And I know, Doug, what time do you guys go to work? 8 o'clock. What time do you get off usually? About 4? See, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got to be on the clock from 8 to 4. I might get lunch. If you're like my wife, you got to be on the clock from 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. and I get 30 minutes for lunch whenever it comes around. And you don't understand. But here's the thing. God placed you in that job and he's prepared good works for you to do even while you're on the clock for that job. See, we sometimes get in our heads that the good works that God's prepared in advance for us are some spiritual, mystical thing over here, and that they're not part of our daily routine. But the truth is, if you're doing what God's called you to do, the good works he prepared for you are part of your daily routine.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to listen to this. Some of the most important good works that a Christian can do is to simply show up to the job and do what's required of you without complaining and bellyaching.
Amen.
Well, that was scattered. Amen. Sometimes the good works that God has prepared for us are not overly spiritual. They're simply showing up and doing what's required of us. Amen. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Paul is talking about how each of us have a place in the household of God. How many of you know that we're all different? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be a pity if you all had to look like me? That amen comes from one who does look a little like me, though. That's the problem. That's my son. That was him. Imagine how boring it would be if we all acted just like Ron. 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 Imagine if we all sounded like Patricia.
Oh, God.
Now, I would have said Connie or Betty, but we don't hear them very much. So, Paul, in this particular passage, is talking about how in the household of God, we all have different purposes and we all have a different role to fill. He says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Two things in that verse I want you to notice. First of all is the word useful. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, our text this morning. It says, and all scripture is God-breathed and what? Louder.
Profitable.
Notice that the useful scripture makes the child of God useful. God's word is useful to you, and when you begin to internalize it and live by it and let it do the things that God's word says it can do, it in turn makes you useful to the master or to the father. Useful for what? It makes you useful to the master, and you are prepared to do any good work. Underline that if you like to underline in your Bible or write that in your notes. Prepared to do what? Any good work. Any good work. Treva, that means when God puts a task in front of us and we may not be comfortable with it, if we have got the word inside of us and we're letting scripture be useful to us, we have a desire to be useful to the master, and we will approach any good work he gives us with the confidence that he will get us through it.
Amen.
When God gives us a good work to do, two words that need to be thrown out of our vocabulary, two phrases, is no and I can't. God says, do it. I want you to do this job. Don't tell him no. Oh, that's dangerous territory. But just as dangerous is when we look at the Father and say, I can't. Let me explain that to you. Somebody out there needs to hear this. When God tells you to do it, he knows that you will accomplish it if you will lean and depend upon him. And when you look God in the eye and you say, I can't, what you've actually done is say, God, you're a liar. I want that to soak in. Because God will never call you to do something that he will not help you to accomplish. It may not be something in your realm of expertise. It may not be something you're comfortable with. But if God tells you to do it, he's going to give you the necessary tools to do it.
Amen.
I'm going to give you an example because I forgot this is an announcement. So this is an announcement and an illustration together. I forgot that today Pastor Honeycutt cannot make the nursing home service. And I know Sister Betty's not going to go over there and teach a Bible lesson probably. But, Sister Betty, if you and some of the ladies can go and visit with the residents, that you can do. God has prepared you for that good work today. And it doesn't have to be the same as Pastor Honey does. When God says, do it, okay, Lord, you've prepared this good work for me. I want to be useful to you, so let the Holy Spirit walk with me right now, and here we go. Amen? Oh, how many times have we missed out on a blessing and missed out on blessing others because we told God no or I can't? 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you. What was it that God told Paul when Paul said, remove this thorn from my flesh?
My grace
is sufficient for you. We sang one song this morning that talked about amazing grace. In our praise and worship library, I could probably do about a 4 or 5 song set that would be nothing but songs about amazing grace, from the original to others that have incorporated it. Friends, do you understand that we can do anything that God the Father calls us to do because of his amazing grace? How many of you want more of His grace in your life? You know, I think a lot of times we walk around with this little eyedropper full of grace, and yet Paul just says right here in 2 Corinthians 9:8, he says that the Father wants the grace to, God is able to make all grace do what? Abound to you. Abound. Lord, whatever grace I had yesterday has probably leaked out. Can you fill me again and just fill me to overflowing with your grace? But here's why. Why should we want to abound in grace? So that in all things, at all times, look at somebody and say, there's that word again, all. All scripture is God-breathed and useful. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Oh. How many of you have ever had a coworker that just did the bare minimum just enough to get by and stay out of trouble? Oh, don't you hate working with people like that? How many of you remember in school when you had to work in groups? And there was always that one person that nobody wanted in their group because you knew they weren't going to do anything. I'll be honest, when I was in high school, well, even before that, if we were all three in a class and the teacher said we could pick our own groups, I will just tell you right now, me and Timothy and Jimmy tried to work in a group because we were all going to do more than our share, and we knew we were going to all do something and get it done. And then there were those, and I honestly can't name any of my old classmates. If some of you are watching, I know you do. I can't think of any of you right off the top of my head. But I know there were certain ones of them we would just be sitting there going, oh, Lord, please don't let the teacher put that one in my group. Please don't let the teacher put me in that group because they're not going to do anything. I'm going to get the A no matter what, but I really don't want to share my A with them because they won't do anything. Friends, let me ask you something. How do you rate when it comes to carrying out the good works that God has prepared for you? Are you one of those people that those around you say, oh, Lord, please let them be in my group. Let them be the one. Let them be the one. Or are you the one that people say, oh, please, Lord, not them? Because they don't abound. They barely get by. They do the bare minimum. And God is able. I want you to read, some of you don't have the NIV, but follow along with this as best you can with me. I want you to say this one out loud. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Friends, God calls us and supplies us with what we need to be overachievers. God never calls us to do it halfway. Work is a four-letter word, and in God's economy, it is a great four-letter word. Now let me close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. A lot of believers, a lot of Christians shy away from the many good works that God prepares for us because they think they've got to do it alone. I'm curious, how many of you are really good self-motivators and you don't mind working alone? Do we have any? Okay, some of you are. I know back several years ago when I finally decided to go back and work for my degree, I did it through Global University, which is entirely distance ed. There is no classroom. There's not really a teacher. There's mentors you can call. And I was able to do that because I'm a self-motivator, self-starter. I don't mind working alone. And yet, I look back now, and there are times I wish I would have had a classroom setting with at least two or three other people, because there's times it would have been a lot easier. The writer to the Hebrews says, we need to not only launch out with all that abounding grace to do all these good works, but we have a responsibility to one another. And I love the word, to spur one another on. I don't know what word picture you get, but I picture a cowboy on his horse, and he's trying to get that horse up the side of the cliff, and the horse is not wanting to go, and he takes those spurs, and he pops those spurs into the side of that horse. Boy, that horse jumps and takes off. Let's be honest about it. Sometimes we need the proverbial swift kick in the seat of the pants. Amen? And there's time. And you know what? We don't do it out of harshness. We don't do it in a cruel manner. But every once in a while, we need the brothers and sisters in Christ to come on and say, come on, you need to get with it. Mm-hmm. Come on, let's go together. I'll help you here. I'll help you get started. Because I'll tell you right now, it was mentioned earlier about over this area, there is a spirit of infirmity. I have a pastor friend that talks about that he senses over this area a spirit of superiority. People thinking they're better than everyone else. Can I tell you, what it really boils down to is the enemy has got a spiritual cloud over this place. And one of the key things that's going to lift that spiritual cloud is when we will step up and take care of the good works that God has prepared for us. Because oftentimes those good works are a form of spiritual warfare. Amen? Work is a four-letter word, but it's a four-letter word we need to embrace. God never called anybody to sit on the sidelines. Pew warming is not a spiritual gift. And some would sit here, though, and maybe say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm worn out. I'm tired. I'm physically not able to do what I used to do. Oh, but you know what? God already knew that, and the good works he has for you today may be different than the good works he had for you 10 years ago.
Amen.
The task will change. Folks, let's be honest about it. I get frustrated with myself because I can't do what I was doing 10 years ago here. There's tasks around here that I need to get on 10 years ago that have already been done. They're still sitting there waiting to get done right now. Why? Time changes what we're able to do. But God will give us what we need to accomplish the good works that he has for us right now. So I want to close with a very simple thing. How many of you are ready to go to work? If you are, stand with me this morning. If you're ready to go to work for the Lord today, stand with me. Now here's what we're going to do. In a moment, we're going to partake of communion. But, in fact, this just came to me. I want you to look around and find, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, perfect. There's an even number of you, not counting Jesse, because he's little. There's an even number of you. I want you to go find one person that the Lord lays on your heart to spur them on to do good works, and I'm going to ask you to come as a pair, and I will serve you communion. And you will take communion together as part of spurring one another on to good works after we pray. And after this prayer, I ask that the video be shut off. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord God, forgive us for those times when we get lazy. For those times when you give us a good work to do and we make excuses instead of simply being obedient. Lord God, remind us that you've prepared those good works long before we were even alive in this world. And you will give us everything we need to carry it out. You will give us the ability. You will give us the Holy Spirit's help. And Lord God, if we'll be obedient to those good works, we will begin to see greater victory. We will begin to drive back the stronghold of darkness that rests over this area. And we will begin to see souls saved and see people filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to see people turn from their life of sin and begin to serve you. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to stay faithful through it all. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said amen. I want you to go find somebody quickly and then come and I will serve you as a pair.